The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Let's go into the debrief if we can. I'm joined in studio here at the Republic of Work by Ralph Regal of the Irish Independent and Esther McCarthy of the Irish Examiner. You're very welcome both. Thank you very much for joining us. We're going to begin. Clare had this interview earlier in the week with this Metropolitan Police Detective, Peter Bleaksley. He was talking about a staggering lack of discipline that young people have growing up. And Ralph, his suggestion was that he would bring back the borstel.
Yes, and I think you have to consider his argument against the backdrop of what's actually happening in the UK. So you've got a significant increase in youth employment, unemployment, or young unemployment.
Staggering figures, this guy you said. Three in ten have a job.
Yeah, you have a significant increase in violence within various categories in youth areas. And they have an awful case at the moment that has sparked this whole thing about punishment versus rehabilitation and the debate. A couple of teenage boys received a non-custodial sentence for two different rapes in England. And it sparked an outcry from the families, obviously, of the victims, but also from politicians about youth justice. And as someone who spends a lot of his time in the courts, I mean, both the district court, the circuit court, central criminal court, I mean, there's a lot of arguments there about our victims' rights and justice for victims. Is it really given the weight in society as opposed to the rights of the victim and rehabilitation, the cost of custodial sentences? And it's an ongoing debate. We're not alone in that in Ireland. I mean, you have it in the UK, you have it in the United States. Certainly there does seem to be a lack of respect, a lack of discipline, a lack of understanding of a person's role in society. So certainly there's a major educational challenge there. But I think it's fair to say that the pendulum has gone from extreme in punishment, executing people for stealing an apple 200 years ago, to the point now where, you know, maybe there needs to be a greater focus on the punishment side of justice.
And Esther, one of the things that does annoy me is you will hear a report from a court and of some young lad, because inevitably it is young lad, who has done something egregious, terrible, that has resulted in an appearance before the court. And we hear reference to the mystical Garda Youth Diversion Programme, as if they're, you know, standing on the end of the street to send them left as opposed to right. And that is supposed to be based in rehabilitation and everything that's with it. You know, there are times when even liberal old me would go, he needs to be sent to a borstel. But we don't want to do that here,
no,
do we?
No, like my blood ran cold when I read this. I mean, we've seen what institutional abuse can do in this country. Andrew was talking about sunscreen. I think it's like trying to put sunscreen on a sunburnt person, like put the efforts in before it actually happens.
Yeah.
Put it into education, put it into youth clubs. There's nowhere for them to go. I'm not obviously talking about horrendous court case in England.
Yeah, but Borstel, everybody got sent to Borstel. That doesn't, like, you know,
yeah.
the rate of sending them to places like that was very, very high. I mean, there's a hint of this being a little bit like a lot of things in Britain at the moment. Mm. It used to be better in the Victorian times.
Yeah.
Oliver turned out all right in the
look
end.
Look at him now, he's grand.
Yeah.
Bring in the corner. Like what he's arguing for, the structure, you know, physical activity, learning a trade, like all these things, of course, but don't wait until they're so far through the system that it's no good. Do that when they need it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just a knee-jerk reaction. I think we need to think better. And please don't bring Borstels back to Ireland.
We have moved away from it, Ralph. We have one young offenders institution in the country.
Yes.
It is always full.
Very difficult to get
overwhelmed.
Youngsters.
Yeah, and largely deals with the people who have offended the worst, with the worst types of crimes. So, have we tried everything else? Are we all out of ideas? Or could we be doing something more?
No, I think there can be more done. And I think that the whole view towards this is that, you know, we seem to be willing to spend money on, you know, prisons and, as you
said, pouches.
Youth defense.
pouches to keep their phones off them.
Yeah, but what we're willing to commit to, as Esther mentioned, like the Probation and Welfare Service, like outreach programs, you'll find that an awful lot of specific areas seem to be the targets for these type of offences. So why not increase funding for youth clubs,
yeah,
diversionary programmes, and look at it? And you do have to take a long-term view on these things. And it has worked. Other countries have shown that if you invest in sport, in art, in education, in trying to break the cycle of disadvantage, you'll win the battle against crime.
Let's talk about the World Cup. I have never known there to be as little interest in a major sporting event as there is in the upcoming World Cup. FIFA are to be investigated over ticketing. Who would have thought it that in Trump's America, they would try to overcharge people to attend matches, Esther? I, for one, am shocked.
Isn't it absolutely amazing? My jaw dropped. Like, I've heard of people, you know, their life savings being spent to try to get over to this, that the dynamic pricing baloney has just been used as an excuse.
I think they may have underestimated the interest levels of football fans.
In America, exactly. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just ridiculous. And there's going to, and it will actually be, you can't hide the fact that there's not going to be no one in the stadiums for the lesser, you know, known, or, you know, some games won't have the excitement that Argentina will have, or Holland or whatever. So, like, they're going, people can't afford to go. And, you know, maybe at the end we'll get a hand to God moment, or we'll get a moment where we'll all get excited again. But up, and I just have no interest. The fact that it's in America sickens me anyway. I wouldn't go if you paid me to go over there.
Yeah, but it's not just like the Americans are really trying it on, Ralph. This happening in Canada and Mexico, where they're less inclined to try it on. But the one that did it for me, not the tickets to the stadium, but the tickets to Giant Stadium, which I know you are very familiar with, for the train.
MetLife Stadium.
The MetLife Stadium.
In New Jersey.
Yeah. They were charging people, there's a couple of hundred.
Four times what it normally
costs. What it normally would cost. Yeah. You cannot walk to the stadium, despite the fact it is here it would be a 30-minute walk, whereas over there, I think it's about 2 hours and you're kind of taking your life in your hands.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, all they see is dollar signs. It's everything that's wrong with America in sporting form.
Yeah, and FIFA itself, because I think, you know, the consequence of this is you have arguably, I mean, it ranks alongside the Olympic Games as one of the great sporting showcases every 4 years. I mean, this should be a celebration of all that's good about football. I mean, I have a sister who lives in Florida, and she has two boys. They're both huge football fans. They're big fans of Inter Miami, and they hero worship Lionel Messi, who, of course, plays for Inter Miami. Not a hope of a ticket. Not a hope. Like, I think she was talking about $600 to $800 for one youth subsidised ticket.
That's a subsidised
ticket. And like, if you look at New York and New Jersey are after launching a formal investigation into ticketing, into the pricing structures, into people getting different types of tickets than the ones that they thought they had paid for. Then you have the whole hotel thing, that there was a vast amount of hotels block booked by FIFA, and they're now releasing an awful lot of those hotel rooms because there's no demand for them. So it's very sad. I mean, I'm a big football fan, and I look at this, and if you talk to Irish people, some of their greatest sporting memories might be
Italian 90,
USA 94. And we would have
Saipan.
Given... It would have meant... Saipan. Don't mention that. I was at Cork Airport. I finished a long by-election count in Cork and went straight to the airport for 10 days waiting for a certain footballer to fly back to Cork who didn't fly back to Cork.
Yeah, it is. I would have said definitely Qatar has to have been the pinnacle of FIFA nonsense. It doesn't get madder than this, but they plumbed a lower
depth.
They managed to do it.
And you remember with Qatar, we were all outraged about the construction workers and how they're
being killed.
And then it just petered off, you know.
I
think that's what they're hoping will happen here.
I don't think it will.
I don't think it will either, but I think they think once the ball is kicked in, once the first touch is taken, we'll all get swept up in the fever and all. But I don't think
so. It does depend bizarrely on what actually happens in the tournament, because most people will remember Qatar as one of the most exciting World Cups in history, with arguably one of the greatest World Cup finals ever. So that's kind of what people focus on. But it's going to be very sad. Like, I mean, you'll probably see a lot of the television coverage where people are instructed not to focus on empty stands and the large banks of empty seats, because
have we seen that before in America?
I'm just going to wait to see, will they pipe in crowd noise? Because it'll be obvious.
Crickets.
Yeah, maybe RTE might have control over that. One of the things that Claire talked about during the week, she was speaking to Leslie Schumacher, the psychologist, about group holidays. And I cannot think of anything worse. I did one group holiday when I was in college, and I fucking hated it. It was lovely.
This is an insight into Anthony Healy.
And I have never gone, apart from my immediate family, I have never gone on holidays with anyone else. Ralph, why would you subject yourself to that?
Now, I did a group holiday once. It was my
just
first.
Once.
I'm glad
just
I'm
once.
Here, lads, to balance once. This out.
And in fairness, I think most people on that holiday would rather that I wasn't on it.
But
it was actually, it was my first holiday abroad. I made friends in it.
That's unusual for you.
We had a great time, really enjoyed it. I mean, I went with a buddy and we still laugh and talk about that. That was 1990, so like you're talking 36 years ago.
Yeah.
Would I go again? Probably not, unless it was something very specific. Like I would do a group tour for some of the specialised things that I'm interested in. Like I might do, you know, the battlefields or...
Don't forget the Werther's Originals when you...
yes.
So, Zimmer frame. Zimmer frame. Hell.
So I would do those, but I tend to be a bit of a loner or else family holidays. But I respect people who go on them. And again, if you're on your own and that's the only holiday you could go on...
Well, yeah, that's fine. But there's a lot of that now, Esther, that people maybe who, you know, they might be widowed or they might be divorced or their kids are grown up and they will go on these holidays where they won't know people.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like,
we'll
they're
make
making
friends.
Yeah, but what happens if you meet someone you hate?
I know.
You stay away from them and find someone else.
You're on a bus. You can't escape someone on a bus.
Unless you're thinking worst case scenario, lads.
Let's catastrophizing
here. Let's do the whole meeting new people with probably common interests. Because you're probably going hiking or you're going to see temples or something.
Yeah.
But like the group holiday is great crack. Like some of the best times I've ever had is with a big group of girls over in some cheap resort with cheap drink and you know, elbowing for the
but
best.
But do you not kind of get to the point where going, I really like Esther. She's a lovely, but by Christ,
said no one ever.
If she talks to me again about I'll be dug out. Is that just me?
I think the whole point we go on group holidays is to leave our cat and our kids and our work and everything else behind and just go bats and just don't get a room with the person who snores and you'll be grand. And what has really, I'm going to Centre Park soon with a group.
Lovely. Oh, Centre Park is good.
But we're going with other families because we went on our own. The last thing was just like, oh God, I have to go in the swimming pool with kids again. Whereas they'll all have their buddies. We'll have our kind of buddies. And even if you don't like them too much, you can go for a walk in the woods or get away from them. Like have like little boundaries
in
place for yourself.
The ones that I always find fascinating though, Ralph, and you'll see them at the airport, is the family. And I'm not talking about, you know, the husband, the wife and the two kids. I'm talking about the extended family. Mm. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, great-grand-aunt, about 300. Like, they nearly take up half the plane.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, that is my idea of a living hell.
Yeah.
A living hell.
I would probably be with you on that one, yeah.
I don't know, John, then maybe for your birthday people will decide your cousins might come out. I think they're 21 next week and his family are doing a big surprise holiday for it. Hooray!
And I will be going in the very opposite direction if that is the case. At my age, you can't be dealing with that. You really can't.
Time is precious.
Yeah, time is precious. So, Ralph, you're saying that you'd love to go on an extended family holiday with all of your outlaws, in-laws and their children, yeah?
Very much so, but would they want to go with me?
As long as we're touring a graveyard, I'm sure they'd be delighted.
Tombstones.
Ralph Regal of the Irish Independent, Esther McCarthy of the Irish Examiner. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's it from the programme for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you missed anything, you can listen back to it on the Go Loud app. My sincere thanks to the production team, Cormac McDonagh on sound. Our producer today was Dee King, assisted by producer Alex Russo, research David O'Connor, Shanna Cole and broadcast assistant Anne-Marie Kane. The editor was Denise McNamara.
And we'll have our kind of buddies that, and even if you don't like them too much, you can go for a walk in the woods or get away from them. Like have like little boundaries
but you know
in place
the,
for yourself.
The ones that I always find fascinating though, Ralph, and you'll see them at the airport, is the family. And I'm not talking about, you know, the husband, the wife and the two kids. I'm talking about the extended family. Mm. Mother-in-law, father-in-law, great-grand-aunt, about 300. Like they nearly take up half the plane.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, that is my idea of a living hell.
Yeah.
A living hell.
I would probably be with you on that one, yeah.
I don't know, John, then maybe for your birthday people will decide your cousins might come out. I think they're 21 next week and his family are doing a big surprise holiday for it. Hooray!
And I will be going in the very opposite direction if that is the case. At my age, you can't be dealing with that. You really can't.
Time is precious.
Yeah, time is precious. So, Ralph, you're saying that you'd love to go on an extended family holiday with all of your outlaws, in-laws and their children, yeah?
Very much so, but would they want to go with me?
As long as we're touring a graveyard. graveyard. I'm sure they'd be delighted.
Tombstones.
Tombstones.
Ralph Regal of the Irish Independent, Esther McCarthy of the Irish Examiner. Thank you both very much for joining us. That's it from the programme for today. Thank you very much for listening. If you missed anything, you can listen back to it on the Go Loud app. My sincere thanks to the production team. Cormac McDonagh on sound. Our producer today was Dee King, assisted by producer Alex Russo. Research, David O'Connor, Shanna Cole, and broadcast assistant Anne-Marie Kane. The editor was Denise McNamara. And